5. Yud Tes Tammuz, Thursday the 13th of July, Rabbi Doniel Schoenfeld. Mistaken packages, who is liable? Too close now.
I thought you said Doniel. I thought you said my name is Doniel, not Daniel.
Do you want to
wait?
Sorry.
No. Hang on, just a second. You're on. Perfect.
Good morning. I want to discuss a small halachic shaila, and I therefore attach to it a disclaimer that if there are any points which are relevant to the Maisa, please speak about them to a
competent
halakhic authority. Right, the story went like this. Rochel, a lady who lives in London, we'll call her Rochel, has some money she wants to send to Manchester. She puts the money in the envelope, seals the envelope, and thinks, how can she send it to Manchester? She has a friend, Leo, and Leo's nephew is going to Manchester. So Rochel asks Leo, do you mind to pass this on to your nephew so he can take my money up to Manchester? No problem, says Leo. Leo takes the envelope, puts it in a white plastic bag, leaves it on the table by her front door, ready for her nephew to pick up. This same Leo had bought some clothing on Amazon, and she wanted to return it, so she put it back in its original packaging, and the clothes with the original packaging together into a white plastic bag, and put it on the table next to her front door, ready for the Amazon guy to pick up. He was going to come to the door. She'd organized it that the man was going to knock on the door and pick it up. Apparently you can do that. The man comes, knocks on the door, and he says, I'm here for a package, but Leo's upstairs. Leo can't open the door. Her son, her teenage son, opens the door. And this teenage son shouts upstairs to his mother and says, Mommy, the Amazon man's at the door. She says, oh, fine, give him the white bag by the front door. So the boy takes the bag, gives it to the man, says bye-bye. Leah, 2 minutes later, comes downstairs and she thinks, oy vey, there were two white bags, please Hashem Yisbarach, tell me he gave the right bag. And obviously, he didn't. He'd given the money, the white bag with the envelope with the money inside, to this Amazon man. Okay, Leah says, no problem, we'll call up Amazon. She calls them up and they say, it's your unlucky day, because in this case, it wasn't Amazon who picked it up, it was an outside company who they'd used. And although we can trace it, we can't retrieve it. We can't give you their details. This is what she's told. We can't give you their details. There's no way we can retrieve that package for you. She goes, well, no way at all. That's it. In this day and age, nothing. They said nothing. Once it goes to that man, it's in their service and we can't hand over you their details. Okay, she calls her friend Rochel and she says, doesn't make sense, right? Sounds strange, but that's what happened. I agree. That's what they said. You mean she should sue them? Yeah, she wasn't going down that line. First she calls Rochel, and she says to her, listen, this is what happened. The man came, wrong package, I'm really sorry. Rochel goes, I don't believe it. There's £2,000 in there, I just bought some furniture in Manchester, I need to pay this £2,000. Why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have put it by my front door, I would have looked after it far better. £2,000, I imagine there was a few hundred in there. Nowhere near £2,000. Rochel goes, you're right, but I didn't, and now what? So the shaila is, who's liable? Is Leah liable because she put two white bags by the front door and she told her son to take one? Or perhaps the boy's liable? Perhaps the boy's liable because he should have checked. There were two white bags there. Maybe he should have asked, Mummy, which one? Or perhaps neither of them are liable and Rochel loses out. That's the shaila.
How old is the boy?
The boy's a teenager.
Teenager.
Yeah, that's why I stressed that, Nicole. Yeah, he's a teenager. Okay, my objective here is to discuss the relevant halachas, the fundamental ideas, and hopefully we'll get some clarity on what the halacha could be in such a situation. We know that there are different types of shomrim in the Torah. We know there's a borrower, a shoyl, somebody who borrows something. Whatever happens to that thing he's borrowed, he's liable for. You borrowed it, you give it back. Whatever happens, even if it's an unforeseeable onus, you have to return the article. Now, our friend Leo was not borrowing any money, right? It was a sealed envelope. She had no right to use it. She's obviously not a borrower. Okay. There's another shomer, a shomer socher. A shomer socher is one who's paid to look after something. He's chayev if it gets stolen or if it gets lost. Okay. Is our friend Leah? She didn't get paid for this job. She's not a shomer socher. So what's left? A shomer chinam. A free guardian. Someone who's looking after it without any payment. What's a shomer chinam chayev for? Only for negligence, for pshia. Only for negligence. Was Leah negligent? That's the question. Was she if she was, we can say she's chayev. If she wasn't, we say she was she's potter. But before we get to that point,
how old was the boy?
The boy was a teenager.
Teenage.
Half one.
How old was the boy?
The boy was a teenager. Anyone else? The boy was a teenager. So. Roch, why am I holding? So Leah is a shomer chinam, and she's only chayav for pashia, only for negligence. Okay, but before we get to that point, Leah argued, as soon as she heard there was £2,000 in that envelope, she said, I never dreamed of that being in there. So therefore, even if Leah, we find that she is negligent, how much does she have to pay? Is she liable for the whole £2,000? Or can she argue, I never accepted responsibility for such a large amount of money, I only thought there were a few, maximum a few £100 in there, no more than that. Maybe she's only liable to that degree. It's also a lot of money. Sure, but she can assume from this friend, she assumed that friend might give me a few £100 without telling me exactly how much it is.
Can't be responsible.
Absolutely, definitely responsible. The question is how much? How much can she assume that her friend would give her without telling her the amount? If I give you £10 to look after in an envelope, I won't say necessarily there's £10 in there. I'll just say here's some money. If I give you £50, I'll probably tell you there's 50. Your closest friend? A diamond ring for sure. But if you give your friend an envelope of £10, you're going to say there's £10 in there, just say there's a bit of money. You might just say it's a bit of money. Okay, we'll get to these points. All good points, sorry?
In terms of engagement of the shomer chinam, does the shomer chinam have to know what the value is taken on, or can just give it back to
him? Right, that's part of the question, exactly. Does he have to know the value, or does he have to assume the full value, or not? Exactly, fine.
Is it
okay.
Possible, is there another category, not shomer chinam, i.e. shliach?
Yes.
Leah is a shliach.
Yes, and a shliach will be a shomer, yeah. Absolutely, but every shliach is also a shomer.
Every shliach is also a shomer.
Yeah.
That's
in
Hilchos
Shlosim. There's no another sort of thing. Okay. There's a similar shaila which came up. An owner of an aquarium, a private man, had an aquarium with some fish in. He goes on holiday and gives his aquarium to his friend to look after, with strict instructions of how to treat the fish. Now the friend, being very confident, says, listen, I know how to treat goldfish. These instructions, this guy's neurotic. Don't need to follow these instructions. And he treated them as he wanted to. And over the weeks, a few of them died. The friend comes back and says, what happened? You didn't follow my instructions, did you? And he says, no, I didn't, but they were a bit over the top. And he says, what do you mean over the top? These are expensive tropical fish. These aren't just goldfish. Is the friend, the shomer, liable for those fish? Same question. Should he be assumed they're tropical fish? Or can he assume they're regular fish? Does he need to assume there's something expensive? Does Leah need to assume there's something, lots of money in the envelope? Does the friend need to assume the expensive fish? This shaila is brought up in your shoyim.
Gave instructions.
Gave instructions, exactly, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
Fish didn't follow the instructions. That's the
sorry, with instructions, it's much worse.
He didn't follow the instructions.
Didn't follow the instructions. So yeah, fair enough point. Fair enough point. Yeah, good point. Let's get there. Let's get there. One second.
The other one is more.
Well, also didn't follow instructions 100%, but. Well, she made it go to the.
There's a limited duty of care she has.
You're saying the instructions make it more mature. Yeah, I understand.
First case, the level of the shmira. First case, the level of the shmira would be reciprocated for a court ratio according to how much the content of the money would be.
Right, similarly, the fish. If I knew the.
Yeah,
absolutely. Similarly with the fish. He gave him, he should have kept them. Yeah, that's the same point. Yeah. I agree. Let's see. There is a Rishonim who bring a similar case. Okay, there's a Modcha in Baba Kama, 6th Perek. He had a case where a Jew lent a Goy some money. And as security, he got a silver sword. As a Mashkin, as security, he got a silver sword. Now, a friend of this lender, this Jew, needs a sword. And he sees his friend has a sword in his hall, and he says, please can I borrow the sword? He goes, sure, no problem, without telling him that it's valuable. This is a case in the Modcha. Then promptly, the borrower of the sword loses it. And the shaila at the Modcha was, does he have to pay the value of a normal sword? Or does he have to pay the value of a silver sword? Can he say, I never assumed it was such an expensive sword, I just thought it was a normal sword? Same question again. Says the Modcha, he's potter. One second. Says the Modcha, he's potter. He only has to pay the value of a normal sword. He does not have to pay the value of a silver sword. Why? Because there's no reason for him to assume it was so valuable. Wait, two Gemaras he brings as a raya. First Gemara, he says, somebody owns a field. In Baba Kama, somebody owns a field, and he gives permission to his friend to store his produce in that field. The friend piles up a whole massive pile of chitin, expensive produce, chitin, wheat, massive pile. But in order to deter any thieves or anyone else, he covers it with a thin layer of barley, cheap barley, so everyone thinks it's now barley. Right, the owner of the field lights a fire in his field, and through negligence, doesn't take care of the fire, doesn't control it, and it burns down the whole stockpile, burns down the whole thing. Says the man of the field, the one who was negligent, I thought it was all barley, I'm only paying you barley. Says the man, the owner, he says, what do you mean, it was all wheat inside. Says the Gemara, he's potter, he does not have to pay the value of wheat, he only pays barley. Why? Because he thought he was looking after barley.
What's that got to do with it? Carry on.
Yeah?
Oh, carry on.
Another point. Sorry, it's not me, it's a Modcha.
Just carry on, sorry.
Sixth Perek, in Baba Kama. Another Raya he brings, but you're making a good point because we'll see in a second. Another Gemara he brings is somebody has a gold coin. Gold coin. He goes to a lady, he says, can you look after my coin, please? But take care, it's silver. And the lady loses the coin. How much does she have to pay? Says the Gemara, she only has to pay silver, not gold. Says the Modcha, that's a Raya to what I said. This man who had the sword from the Goy, that was silver. He lent it to his friend without telling him it was silver. The man assumed it was just a regular steel or whatever they make swords out of. Sword. There was a reason to assume it was a regular sword. He is potter, says the Modcha. Great. Now, you're all asking the same question. And the Yamsha Shlema, thankfully, asked the same question. The Yamsha Shlema, the Marshal, in the same place, the sixth parak of Baba Kama, asked the question, what is the Raya? Not at all. You have no proof to the case of sword from these two other cases. These two other cases, in the case of the wheat, the owner of the wheat misled the Shomer. He covered it with barley, so the Shomer was quite right in assuming it's barley. Why should he think there's something else underneath? Similarly, in the case of the gold coin, the man told the lady, it's silver. Why should she assume it's anything else? That's why they're only liable to the lesser amount, because they trusted the word or what they saw in the item. However, the case of the sword, nobody misled anyone. The Jew who had got this sword from the Goy gave it to his friend. He said nothing. He just gave him the sword. Why should the person who's borrowing the sword assume it's a normal sword? Ask. How much is it worth? What type of sword it is? I don't know. It's your responsibility when you take something, when you look after something, to know what you're looking after. That's what the Yamsha Shlema says. We have here a very distinct machlokas between the Modcha and the Yamsha Shlema. The Modcha says that every Shomer does not need to pay more than what you can assume the item, what you can assume, correctly and fairly assume the item in front of you is worth. If it's a sword, and you can assume regular swords have a certain value, then this Shomer can also assume this sword has that value, and he's only liable to that degree. Similarly, in the case of the fish, normal people don't have expensive fish. I don't know, it depends how expensive they are, depends what type they were, but if assuming they're very expensive fish. So people don't normally give over to their friends without saying anything, very expensive fish. So perhaps the man could say, I assume they were normal fish. Why didn't you follow instructions? Perhaps that would be a pashia. Correct. In our case of Leah, she got an envelope from her friend. How much should she assume is that in that envelope without being told it's £2,000? She didn't mention anything, Rochel. According to the Modcha, he can say, listen, you only assume what's normal. So how much does a friend normally give in a closed envelope without saying anything? What's a normal amount? 50, 100, 150, 200, 300? Leah says no more than 500. That's an exorbitant amount. Normally you should tell me a big amount of money and mention it to me, I'll look after it better. The Modcha would say she can assume there's only a few hundred pounds in there. She won't be chai for the full 2,000. However, according to the Marshal, according to this Yamsha Shlema that we mentioned, that's not true. You are liable for whatever you take, no matter how much it's worth, no matter what the person gives you. Unless the person who's giving it to you misleads you. He tells you it's only silver and really it's gold. He shows it's only barley and really it's only wheat. Right? That's a distinct machlokes. How do we paskan? The Shach in Simenayim based in Choshen Mishpot says that really he agrees with the Modcha, and he thinks the Modcha's right, that you don't have to pay the full amount. But at the end of the Modcha, he says v'tzorachiyun. He himself admits that he's not sure about his chiddush, and therefore, says the Shach, it remains an unresolved machlokas, undecided halacha, a sveika de dinna. It remains a sofik. This halacha, this machlokas, remains a machlokas. Therefore, we apply the rule that is true by every machlokas in money of hamotzi mechaveir olav araya. Correct? That we can't take out money from someone if they have somebody to rely on. I can rely on the modcha. Says Leo, you want me to pay £2,000? I'm relying on the modcha. The Shah says it's a sofik. I'm relying on the modcha. I don't want to pay you £2,000. I don't have to according to the modcha. And that's a fair enough sofik. I have the money. I don't have to lay out that money to you because of this modcha. Very good. That is all true. That's the liability that Leah accepted upon herself. That's a machlokes and that's a matter. Was she negligent? She only has to pay if she was negligent. Yes. Right? Now, she put two white bags by the front door. Is that negligence?
Yes.
Yeah. In my eyes, it's not. Because I put lots of two things next to each other. And then I remember that they're next to each other, and I give the right one to the right person. So that in and of itself, putting two white bags next to each other, is not negligence, as long as I then give the correct one to the right person, right? So the actual putting them is not negligence, right? When she's upstairs and forgets those two white bags, and she just commands her son, give the white bag by the front door. Is that negligence?
Yes.
Well, how do you know? She forgot. She didn't do it on purpose, right? That's the question. Is forgetting negligence, memory lapse, can that be considered negligence or not? I mean, does a person have control on that? She's busy doing the washing. She has a whole house to sort out later. She's upstairs with the whole family. The man comes to the door. What do you want her to do?
No excuse.
No excuse.
No excuse.
Forget to lock the safe, it's not negligence.
Sorry?
If
you forget to lock the safe, it's not negligence. Good argument. Fantastic. Says the Gemara. That's one Gemara. Let's go through these. There's two Gemaras on this point. One is in, I'll come to that one in a second. There's one Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Chof Vov. Sorry, yes?
On the dance?
She didn't forget. She was very ethical. She shouldn't forget anything.
I'll tell you why. She forgot there were two.
She stayed upstairs and she gave herself
some instructions. She wasn't sitting on the floor upstairs knowingly there are two white bags by the front door and just command her son, take the white bag.
That's right.
That's not what happened. What happened was she forgot she'd put the other bag next to it. She forgot she'd put the money bag next to it. Therefore, she just told her son, give the white bag by the front door.
Even worse,
you say. Let me tell you a Gemara. Someone's sitting on a chair. And he's thinking about all types of wonderful things. And he put a stone on his lap. He then carries on thinking about all the wonderful things he's thinking about and forgets about the stone that's on his lap. And he stands up. Now, underneath him, there's either somebody's item, glass cup, or there's somebody else sitting there. He's on a higher level. There's someone else sitting there and he damages the person or the item. Is he chayev or is he potter? Says the Gemara like this. For items, he's chayev. For people, he also has to pay damages. But we know when you damage somebody, you have to pay five things, right? You pay nezek, that's damage. You also have to pay boshes, pegam, all types of other things, right? Those are the four things he doesn't have to pay, says the Gemara. Why not? Because he's not a pusheya. He wasn't completely negligent.
He was a shogeg.
He did it by mistake. But he was forgetting. It's clear from the Gemara. I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara argues, and it tells you that let me just finish the two cases, and we'll try and define it. One second. The Gemara says that him forgetting about the stone on his lap is not gross negligence. It's not complete negligence. It's considered a shogeg. No one's telling you he did the right thing. He did the wrong thing, and he should be accountable for his actions, but he did it by shogeg. He did it by mistake. And therefore, by shogeg, if you damage, you're chayev. The dalet devarim, boshes pegam, and the other things, that you don't pay for shogeg, that you only pay for pashia. Clearly from this Gemara, the man is not considered to be an oinus. Forgetting is not an oinus, because if he'd be an oinus, Tosis tells us you don't pay damages. Tosis in Baba Kama, Chof Zayin, tells us you don't pay damages if you're an oinus. Gomel. You don't pay. Oinus gomel. If you're complete oinus. So he's not oinus gomel. He's not a Peshea Gomor, because otherwise he should have to pay the Dalet Devarim, he should have to pay the other payment. Rather, he's a Shogeg. He's defined as being a Shogeg. That's clear from this Gemara. So, you say he is negligent. Let me bring you a Gemara to back you up.
Put a stone in your lap, you're liable to forget, you'll get up and the stone will fall and do damage.
I hear. That's one side, and the other side. Sorry? Odom Mord the Odom. That's the Mishnah, right? You're asking. Exactly. So, there's another Gemara. Good question. There's another Gemara which says, as was rightly pointed out by my esteemed father-in-law, that the Gemara says someone who's looking after earrings for somebody, kippi, The Gemara in Baba Kama, in Baba Metzia, Daf Lamed Hei. So a shomer is looking after earrings for somebody, expensive earrings. And he puts them in a very safe place. And the man comes back to pick up his earrings. And he says, you know something, I know I put them in a really safe place, but I've got no idea where I put them. It was such a good place, I can't remember where I put it. Says the Gemara, Kolo Yadana Pshiyosahi. If you say you don't know, forgetting, that's Pshiyah. That's a Gemara. There are other Gemaras about Erev Tafshila and others. Let's stick with the ones to do with money. These two Gemaras about money. One says he's not a Pesheah with a stone. One says he is. This Stira is not my Stira. It's asked by the Shire Ephraim. Shire Ephraim lived in the 1600s. He was a friend of the Shach. And he was a Rebbe of the Chacham Tzvi. Shire Ephraim. He asked this Stira. Why does he ask this Stira? Somebody asked him the following question. There was a partnership who owned Chomets. They owned Chomets. And one of the partners was the active partner. The other one was not. And the active partner was supposed to sell this chometz before Yom Tov. Before Pesach came, he was supposed to sell the chometz. He forgot. He didn't sell the chometz. It became osa, they couldn't use it. Right? Chometz all goes to the bin. Does that partner have to pay, reimburse the other partner for him forgetting his memory lapse and selling the chometz? Does he have to pay for it or not? That was the shaila that was posed to the Shire Ephraim. Says the Shire Ephraim, well, I have two gemaras about forgetting, don't I? I have the gemara about a stone which sows, he's not a pshia. And I have a gemara which says that he is a Peshe with the earrings.
Mamonos.
What's a halacha? What's a halacha? He says like this. He differentiates as follows between the two Gemaras. He says it depends how direct the damage is from the memory lapse. Does it happen direct or are there a few stages in between? He says in the case of the stone, you're right, the man forgot about the stone. But had he forgotten and lived ad meo v'esrim and died on the spot, nothing would have happened. The forgetting in and of itself didn't cause anything. That forgetting, it could have stayed like that and everyone would have been happy. What happened next was the problem. He stood up, and not knowingly, and the stone fell. But the act of forgetting didn't actually cause the damage. Therefore, he says, in that case the Gemara says you're potter. However, in the case of the rings, what happened in the case of the rings? He put them in a safe place. The shomer was looking after expensive rings. He put them in a safe place. When the owner comes to retrieve them, the shomer says, oops, I forgot where I put them. Well, that's it. We're never going to get them back anymore. Finished. Because you've forgotten, the rings are gone. Says the Shire Ephraim, in that case you're chayav. Let's go to Ar. Sorry?
It's always the other way. Maybe with the stone. If you forgot, you can do a mice. So you stood up, you did a mice.
Nachon, you could look, yeah. There is a way of answering that, just we won't have time if we address that question. I'm just gonna carry on. The Shvus Yaakov, who lived a little bit later, early 1700s, in Prague, he brings down this Shire Ephraim, and he says, and I'll add, he actually argues with the logic of the Shire Ephraim, but he adds, he says, nowadays, everyone forgets things. We don't have the same mental capabilities, abilities that they had in previous Doros. We forget things far quicker, and therefore, even though the Gemara or Poskim may call something a Shia, for us, unless it was completely avoidable, unless it was obviously avoidable, then forgetting something wouldn't be considered a pshia. That's the Shvus Yaakov. Okay? Now, in our case of Leah, she had this envelope from Rachel. She put it by the front door. She was upstairs. She forgot about the bag. I ask you, is she chayav or potter for that forgetting? The Shire Ephraim says that if it's a direct cause of your forgetting, you're chayav. If it's not a direct cause of your forgetting, you're potter. What happened over here? Leah was upstairs. She forgot about the two bags. Did anything happen to the bags at that stage? Nothing. She then commanded her son, told the son, give it to the man. Did anything happen at that stage? Yes. Still nothing. You needed the boy to take the wrong bag, give it to the man, and then the problem happened. That's not direct. That's not the same as a shomer who forgets something and that's it. That's a Shire Ephraim. That's his story. If something else has to happen, the boy has to pass it on. The boy also had to mess up. It wasn't only her forgetting. The boy also could have looked at the table and said, there are two white bags over here. Mommy, which one? But he didn't, did he? He may be at fault, and we'll see in a second. But her forgetting wasn't direct cause to the hezek. Right. Similarly, perhaps in... Who said she knew she was liable to forget? She's never forgotten anything in her life. I don't know. There is a svara like that you should write things down when you're looking after something. That's true. Okay, so and perhaps according to the Shvus Yaakov svar as well perhaps applies. It wasn't. Maybe you could say it was avoidable. She should have written it down, like you're arguing. Maybe it was avoidable, and therefore according to the Shvus Yaakov, who says You're only chayv when things are avoidable. Maybe it was avoidable and she would be liable. Okay, but she can say, listen, there's a shy frame. Shy frame says on potter, when you have two poiskim, you can say kimli like shy frame. Okay. That's as far as the lady goes. What have we said? That she can claim my own accepted liability up to a normal amount of a few hundred pounds. And I wasn't negligent at all, because forgetting is not necessarily a negligence in our case. Okay, we have another character in our story, and that was the boy, right? The boy picked up one of the white bags without asking, without looking, if there was another one. They were quite obviously two next to each other. He was obviously taken up with whatever he was doing, couldn't be bothered helping out too much, grabbed it and gave it. Is he chayav or not? Is he a posher or not? Yes. Is the boy a posher?
Yes.
He is, right? I think the guy's total posher, right? But who cares? When's a posher chayav? We said a shomer chinam is chayav for posher, right? Someone who's not a shomer, are they chayav for posher? Not chayav for posher. Posher means, if you're negligent, that means you accept the responsibility, and you were negligent in your chiv shmira. In
what you took. Ask his mother, two bags he was.
So you're right, he was negligent. Therefore what? Absolutely. Therefore what? So he was negligent, therefore. There is Pshia.
Why is he loved
Pshia? He is a Pshia, but he doesn't have to pay anything because he's not a Shomer. He never agreed to look after it. Yeah, but he didn't agree to be a Shomer. He wasn't planning it. He wasn't being a Shomer. He just passed something off from one to another. On the spot. So I want to say, yeah, he is a Shliach. He could be, yeah. To me, that would make him a Shomer Chinam. I want to suggest that he's a Mazik. Okay. I want to suggest he's a mazik. Why do I want to suggest that? There's a Shulchan Aruch. There's a Tshuvas Arosh. Tshuvas Arosh discusses a case where Reuven has a pair of shoes and he wants them taken to the market. He says to Shimon, I've got a pair of shoes. Can you take my shoes to the market? Shimon says, sure, I've got a donkey. Put them on the donkey. Shimon doesn't touch them. Shimon walks off with his donkey to the market. Along the trip, the long journey, he goes to the side of the road to do the necessary, and he comes back a few minutes later and the shoes are gone. The shoes are gone. Is he chayav or is he not? Says the Tshuvas Harosh. You know something? He's potter. Sorry, he's chayav. He's chayav as a shmir. Sorry, the Rosh says he's chayav because he's a posher. He's a shomer and he's a posher. Simple? Simple, right? Ask the Sivas. That's very simple. If a shomer can be a shomer without doing a kinyan, without actually picking up or doing a kinyan on the thing you're looking after. And that's actually how the Rosh holds. So the Rosh is great. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, in order to be considered a shomer, you have to do a kinyan on the thing you're looking after.
Why?
You have to pick it up.
Why?
Good question. Good question. Good question. Good question. That will be on the Shir and Shmir. Why what? Why is this donkey not koine? Because it's a chotzam aleches. Let's not go down that line. The Nesiva says there are no kinyanim. He goes through the various...
Calling the donkey.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, that's a Gemara about that. Says you're also not koine. Yeah, you're not koine, says the Gemara. So the Nesivas discusses these, but let's just get to the point. The Nesivas says there was no kinyan over here. So why is the Shulchan Aruch saying this man is chayav? He's not a shomer. Says the Nesivas, you know why? Because even if you're not a shomer, but if you take somebody's item from a secure place, the security of the owner's home, and you place it in the middle of the thoroughfare, middle of public area, that's called a mazik. You're a mazik. You've damaged, even though you haven't damaged the actual article, nothing's happened to it yet. But when it eventually gets damaged, you're considered to be the initial damager. Because you're the one who took it from the secure area, from a safe place, and you put it into an unsafe place. Doesn't the Sivas, that's a mazik. Our boy did a similar thing, didn't he? He took it from a house and gave it to a man. However, it's not identical. But I want to bring you another Gemara. Another Gemara, we don't have time to elaborate, I'm just going to bring it very quickly. The Gemara is in Baba Kamba, Tzadi Ches al Madalef. It says like this, there's a man counting money on the edge of the cliff. Along comes his friend and knocks off the coin into the water. Says the Gemara, the man who knocked it into the water is potter. According to the Manda Omar, that we don't do garmi. We don't paskin that causative damage is chayv. We happen to paskin it is, okay? But the Gemara is going that causative damage is not chayv. Since you've only caused the damage, why you only caused the damage? Because the coin's still there in the water. The coin's still there. And say, go and get it. What have I done? Go and get it. Says the Gemara, but only on two conditions is that true that he's potter. First of all, the water has to be clear. You can see the coin. You can say, Harish Echola Fanecho. Go and get it. Has to be clear water, and you can see the coin in there. First condition. Second condition is that he mustn't have picked up the coin. If the one who threw it picked up first, he's a gunner. Once you're a gunner, you always have to pay back. Okay, but if he just knocked it off, clear water's fine. Okay? Now, Tosfos explains that the difference is not between clear water and murky water. That's not what's important to the Gemara, whether or not you can see it or not. What's important is, if it's clear water, normally you can get a diver to get it. And if you can get a diver to get it, then you can say, go and get a diver. And I'll say, it's going to cost me to get a diver. Yeah, okay, but that's not me. Your coin's still there. What I've done, that's what the Gemara says. We don't paskin like this again. But the Gemara's going in that shitter that causative damage is not chayev. I've caused you to pay a diver, you're not chayev. Okay, the point I want to get to is like that. If it's murky water, that means a diver can't get it. That's a normal scenario. You can't see it. How's he going to get it? That's what Tosfos explains in Gemara. If a diver can't get it, then you're a mazik. You're chayev according to everyone. That's not causative damage. That's real damage. The coin is still there in the water. It hasn't been damaged. Yeah, but you taking it away from the owner is called damaging it. You putting it in a place that's irretrievable is called damage. Our boy took an envelope that was in a very safe place, perfectly looked after. He gave it to a man. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was doing, but he gave it to a man which was never going to be retrievable, according to what she was told. It's irretrievable. It's irretrievable. He would be a mazik. You're asking me, you're looking at me, what do you mean? This was by mistake, right? You're right, he took a piece of money from a secure area and put it into an irretrievable area and he's a mazik, but he did it by mistake. The answer to that is, a mazik gomor is chayav bein b'shoigeg, bein b'rotzon, bein b'oynus, bein b'shoigeg, yeah? Lechayav en, that's a gomor in, that's a mishnah, in Baba Kama Chovav, and therefore he's chayav as a mazik b'shoigeg. How much is he chayav? Unfortunately, we don't have time to elaborate. Perhaps he would also only be chayav to the smaller amount of money, not the full 2,000. He could assume, I'll just say this very quickly, the Gemara says if you take somebody's wallet from the table and you kick it into the river and there's a diamond inside, you don't have to pay for a diamond. You can say, diamond in a wallet? You can say, I didn't think there would be a diamond in the wallet. That's a Gemara and Baba Kama sound space. So perhaps he would only have to pay the smaller amount because he can say, I never thought there'd be so much money in the envelope. That would depend on the scenarios. I'm sorry I had to rush here at the end. But, thank you. Thank you.